Blessing to see Brother Cooper back up and feeling much better. I had to head out of town to Peru. I went and saw him at the hospital, Christy and I did, on the way to the airport. And I really left with a heavy heart. I was worried about you, and then I was glad when I started getting reports that you did too, man. Yours maybe more than mine, but I left worried about you and prayed for you often and checked on you. And the reports I were getting were positive that you were doing better, But we do love you, brother. We do love you, and we're so glad you're back. Psalms 122 in the Word of God. I want to give you something. By the way, I'm going to get back to the Revelation Station. We just had quite a few special events and things that were going on. I knew I would teach a lesson, miss 2 weeks, teach a lesson, and I just didn't want to get you moved too forward, and you wouldn't remember what I taught last. And so I decided during the summer to kind of take a break from it just for a little bit. We'll get back to it soon. But I'm going to give you something practical and helpful tonight. How many of you could use something practical and helpful? How many of you need a little help once in a while? Miss Brenda, I was looking at you. Just the Lord led me there. I don't know why. Oh, something practical and helpful. That's my favorite kind of preaching. I was at a youth conference about a month ago, and we were part of a pastoral questioning committee, and the kids were asking us questions. We were on a panel, and they said, you know, what's your favorite thing to preach on? Well, there's books I love to preach from, but my favorite thing, period, is when I can preach something that can be practical, help you with your Christian walk, something you the next day put to work, put to practice. I love stuff like that. I love it when the Lord gives me messages that are that way. Sometimes there's messages that are deep and dark, but sometimes you don't really know immediately how to use it in your life. And there are men that are masters at it. Just, you know, Dr. Bill Grady's one of them. He's just got a mind that works different from mine, but being a pastor, I love to be able to help people, and I'm going to try to do that tonight. And we're going to get out of here at the normal time. My goal is to be done by 7:30, so you can just relax. Not worry about that clock. I'm going to worry about it, and you don't need to. And we'll get out of here at a good time tonight. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I sure enjoyed the Christians I met in Peru and in Chile. Everywhere I've ever been in the world, I find that there are Christians. There are Christians. In fact, on the way back, you know how you're on an airplane and there's, you know, three seats and the person sitting right next to me ended up, we got to talk, and I had my Town East church shirt on. And the Town East one we just recently gave away. So she said, "Are you here on a mission trip?" I said, "Yes, I was here preaching and preaching a set of revivals." And she said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Where are you from?" I said, "San Antonio." I said, "Where are you from?" She said, "Indiana." I said, "I went to seminary in Indiana." And she said, "Where?" And I told her, and she said, "That's where I went to college." And it come to find out, she knew my wife's family. She knew the Grady family. Dr. Grady will be here. His daughter was my wife's best childhood friend, and they're still dear friends today. And she knew a bunch of people that we knew, and it was just a small world. But I found out that she has just lost her husband. She's 47. Her husband died 2 years ago. She has five children. Two of them are in college at Pensacola. And the Lord opened up the door for me to be able to give her some help. And she told me at the end, she said, "I don't believe it was an accident that God put me in this seat, because you have helped me greatly." And it just felt so good. And you know, started out, we knew all these people. Then she shared that. It just went right into me doing what pastors do, I guess. But it was a sweet time. And I've met Christians all over the world. She was there. Her husband was a missionary, in fact. And she had gone back to where they were at for the first time. And so she was back there seeing some friends from their ministry that they had before her husband passed. And I'm going to be starting a ministry here. I'm just going to go ahead and talk about it. This is not my official launch, but I'm going to be starting a ministry in September that I'm going to personally chair. It's going to be entitled Ganging Up on Grief. Ganging Up on Grief. It's going to be a group therapy counseling hour that'll be held twice a month. I'll give the dates and times for that as I develop it further. But it'll be set in a group therapy style, ganging up on grief, helping people that are hurting. And we're going to invite people who are hurting, grieving, going through hard times, dealing with sadness in their life. And we're going to have a group therapy style session. And that'll be held on two different days of the month. It'll be held on a time that it'll be set at certain times, and it'll be the same thing every month. But I'll say more about it. And the reason the Lord has impressed upon me to do that is because I just see so many people going through that. I see lots of people that are dealing with grief. And we're going to gang up on it together and find solutions and use each other to help each other and try to bring some joy into a situation where there's been some sadness. And I believe that the Lord can bless that. And not only just members of Town East, but I hope it'll go beyond our walls and be able to help people from other ministries. I've asked a couple of people to co-chair that with me and to help with it. I'll be bringing in guest counselors often and people to be a part of that. We're going to have some books that we're going to be going through and keeping journals. It's going to be a very professionally done thing. I did group therapy for quite a while, but I did it in the prison system in Orlando. I worked for Orange County Corrections as a group therapist for a while. And so I do know some things about all that, and I know it can be very effective. And the Lord has impressed upon me to do that. And I'm very excited about it for the possibility of helping hurting people. And there, the Bible can bring us comfort, but I do believe that grief can be a horrible vortex that you just can sometimes have a hard time finding your way out of. And we want to help people and be a light during that time. How many of you think that could be a good thing? Raise your hand, say amen. I really believe that we can help people, and there's people all around us dealing with that specific emotional hurt. And I do believe that they need help. And if the church doesn't provide it, they have to go to the world. The world often has solutions that are not biblically sound. So I want to be a blessing in that. But tonight I want to teach you something here. Let's go to Psalms. You're already there. Psalms 122. Look at verse number 1. I'm just going to read one verse and give you some thoughts about it. But we see David as he writes this song. And the first verse of this song says this. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. David said, I was glad when it was time to go to church, when it was time to go worship the Lord. I was glad. I had a glad feeling about coming to church. So we see in the 122nd Psalm, we see as David exclaims that he felt joy when he went to the house of the Lord. And I find this to be a beautiful verse. In every one of my Bibles, this verse is underlined. I love the Psalms. In every one of them, I've underlined this. This is a verse that I hope says what we all feel most of the time concerning going to church. David said, I was glad when it was time to go to church. And I hope as a pastor that this verse is saying what you feel most of the time when it is church time. I do know, and I'm not naive about this, I do know that not everybody feels this. And I am aware that there are Christians who dread church time. It's never been something they've enjoyed. It's never been something that they have looked forward to, often going in spurts and in seasons, but often spending seasons out of church, finding a dread when it's time to go to church in their heart, finding it to be often something they're making themselves do, and it doesn't have that joyful feeling. It's not that satisfying thing that a person who has that joy approach to it. I have learned that sometimes even good, devout Christians will struggle with their joy of going to church. And there are reasons that are practical, and as a pastor, I acknowledge these reasons. I know they exist. And not everybody who struggles in attending church is anti-Christ or anti-Jesus or hates the house of God. They just sometimes struggle with their joy of doing it. And the reasons vary from sometimes you're just tired. You ever have a week that you just have nothing left in the tank? I mean, it's Saturday night and you just feel like somebody has hooked up a vacuum to your soul and just sucked it out and you just don't have anything left to give. You're just wore out. Sometimes that happens to good, devout Christians. Sometimes you're just tired. Sometimes you've had a bad or excessively busy week and you're just worn out, you're frazzled. You're not necessarily sick, but you are definitely tired. You're definitely weary. And sometimes the approach of, man, you know, I have to go to work on Monday morning. It's not that I get to go to work. I have to go to work. And sometimes that Sunday comes along and it may be the only day of that whole week where, you know, in your mind, you have this option of trying to get caught up. And sometimes good, devout Christians, it's not that you don't love church, but sometimes there's those services where you're just, it's just been an excessively bad or excessively busy week. And you're just worn out. That happens. That happens. And sometimes you find yourself dreading going to church. You may go anyway, but it's not a joyful thing. Or you may, in some cases, feel compelled to miss. And then you'll sit there and struggle with it. How many of you have ever had that? Where you think to yourself, man, I'm just going to stay home today. And then you look at the clock and you think, church is starting right about now. And if I had just gotten up, I'd be there. And then when church is over, maybe if you hear your kids walk in the door, or your wife or your husband, you realize now church is done. And if I'd have gone, I'd have been done. I'd have been home by now. And you sat there all morning long, feeling bad about missing, wishing you were there. So you were wore out, didn't want to go, dreaded it. Then you dreaded not being there. Hey, who's ever had that happen? Am I the only one that's ever been through that? You say preachers go through that? Yeah, you know, heard about this preacher that this preacher, he told his wife, he said, "Man, I don't want to go to church today." She said, "Honey, you got to. You're the pastor." Well, even us preachers sometimes have those bad and excessively busy weeks, and we go into it worn out and tired, and sometimes the joy of it is eclipsed by that physical exhaustion. And that can happen to even good Christians, and I'm aware of that. I get that. Sometimes you just don't feel like being around people. You ever have that happen? You ever had a bad week and you just don't want to go and be a light to anybody else? You really don't want to go be a sunbeam? You want to be a storm cloud, not a sunbeam. You just don't really feel like, you know, going through the motions and smiling. You really just want to lock yourself away and marinate in your sorrow. Sometimes, man, you just don't feel like being around people, and church is all about people. Our church is a very affectionate church. How many of you have already come to notice that? We're a church that we love to hug each other, and we love to fellowship with one another. We love to cut up. We love to laugh. I remember, Brother Caetano, during the COVID, when we first started coming back, I had to have those stickers made that said, "I love you, but I'm not hugging right now." I had to literally get stickers made for people who were not wanting to have that kind of personal touch, and I had to make, I tell them, put them on. Then I had to get on to all of you multiple times about respecting the sticker because some of you saw it as a personal challenge. "Oh, you don't want a hug? You need a hug. Get over here, man. You're getting hugged." And you were like Pepe Le Pew chasing that skunk around. Hey, man. And, you know, we're that kind of church that's going to be, we're an energetic church. I mean, people that don't want an energetic church where people laugh and cut up and fellowship, I mean, they're not going to like Town East if that is what they want. We're not that church that comes in, we sit down for 45 minutes and go home, a little sermonette, and nobody cares to talk to each other. There are times that I've literally left an hour and a half after church. Brother Mike, sometimes y'all are the ones. And I'll say, "Hey, I got to go. Y'all lock it up when you get going." Lock it up, man. Last one out, please lock the door. And I've seen people just sit in here for hours after church. And I love that. I'm so glad. Not everybody does it, but there are some that just enjoy being around here. When we've had activities, we've never worried about people not coming. There's always a group that loves that fellowship. But I'll be honest. Sometimes what the things going on in your life, you just don't feel like being around people sometimes. And sometimes coming to church can be dreaded because it's going to be around people. When you come to this church, you're going to be around people. And sometimes you don't feel like being perky. Sometimes you don't feel like smiling. Sometimes you don't feel like, you know, being happy and laughing. And that's going to hit you sometimes. And when it comes time to go to church, you're not going to feel the joy at times. It's not all the time, but sometimes good Christians have that happen to them. Has anybody in this room ever had that happen to you? Where you just were disgusted by everybody's happiness? The more joyful they are, the more aggravated you got. Sometimes the hassle of getting ready, driving, and sitting in a service is overwhelming to you. I've had people tell me they missed just because they just were overwhelmed with getting ready to come. You know, the actual being here is not that long, but sometimes getting ready to come here is longer than the actual act of being here. How many of you live more than 30 minutes away from the church? All of us, I live exactly 31 miles away from the front door of the church. So I spend 2 hours every Sunday driving to church. There are times that my drive to church is longer than the time that I'm going to actually be at church. And some of you experience that, and you've done it over the years. And sometimes the act of driving to church, getting ready, taking a shower, sometimes it's your weekly shower, and you just feel just overwhelmed by it. I remember as a boy, Saturday night was bath night. Saturday night was bath. My mom, we took them during the week, but my mom always made us take a big old bath on Saturday night. And I remember as a kid, man, she'd make us come in from playing, and we got church tomorrow, and she'd make us scrub behind our ears and all that stuff. Childhood memories there. But I know there's people that the act of just getting ready for church can overwhelm them to the point that they lose their joy in coming. Often that can affect people that have health issues. Sometimes people have got health issues and they're dealing with body pain. Sometimes maybe they're dealing with, there's a lot of, what are those called, autoimmune diseases where there's not really a clear-cut cause for it or even a cure. There's not even really a treatment. It's something that when you get it, you have to bear it and live with it. And sometimes that can come with pain and fatigue and often extreme anxiety. We're living in a day and age where there's a lot of mystery illnesses like that, autoimmune diseases that affect even Christians. Even Christians get these things. And sometimes because of that, they deal with being overwhelmed a lot and they get severe anxiety. I've talked to women who say, I'll plan all week long to come, and then when I look in my closet and I have to pick out an outfit and get ready, I get so overwhelmed I just go back to bed. Now, I know many of us can't understand that, and thank God that we don't. I'm glad that we're not of that or dealing with that, but there are people who are precious, who love the Lord, who deal with this anxiety issue, the fact of getting dressed, having to pick an outfit, having to get their face on, you know. I happen to be around people, they just get so overcome with it, and often they lose their joy of going to church. And there's some precious people that I personally know that that is happening in their life, and there's no joy in going to church when they're dealing with that, and I hate it for them. And I praise the Lord that I am not dealing with something like that, but I know people that do. Somebody say amen if you understand what I'm saying. And it's sometimes where we just have to have a heart and be understanding. Sometimes there may be dramas at church, and because of the dramas that maybe you get attached to, you dread going. Some of y'all can remember times at Town East, at church this old, where maybe there was dramas going on. I remember as a boy, times when dramas would break out at church, and things would happen, and it might be a group that's angry or about to leave, and I can remember times when coming to church would be a little dreaded. You wonder what's going to happen and what's going to happen next. I remember my dad went through a horrible split back there in 1993. Horrible split. Our church started in the back of a square dance hall. I was a youth pastor. Dad asked me to be the youth director. I had two teenagers, my two brothers, first Sunday. That was it. The Lord blessed it. It began to grow excessively. It just exploded. And we were in that square dance hall. And God started sending family after family. Then we ended up buying an actual church building, a church that had closed up, and the facility was sitting there, and we grew, and we ended up by our second year, happened to triple the length of that facility to be able to accommodate the crowds. And then going into our third year, we had a split. We had a big split, and a bunch of people left, and they followed the music director, who went over and started his own church a little bit away. And I remember, it was one of the first times I'd ever seen my dad cry over anything work-related. I had seen my dad cry at funerals and dealing with people. I'd seen my dad get tears in his eyes, just in compassion. But it was the first time. I remember when he was going through that, I worked for him, and I saw that he was I could see it in him, could feel, because he was normally so positive. I could see that he was brokenhearted, and I invited him to go get lunch. Brother Mike, we went to a little Chinese restaurant, and I'm sitting across from my dad. My dad, the strongest man I'd ever known, you know. I felt Superman wasn't any match for my dad, you know. And I remember suddenly he put his fork down, he put his head down, and I remember his shoulders just heaving as he began to weep at all these people that had left and had been so hurtful. And for, I guess, about a month or two, I'll be honest, we all kind of dreaded going to church. Every week it was another family getting sucked into this and the things that were going on. And it's dreadful. There were people that sadly didn't stay in our church, but they didn't go with him either. They just got out of church. They just quit church. Didn't go back at all. Got hurt. And I'm sure that every church, if it's been around long enough, has had periods like that. And you know, there is no church that is impervious to the works of Satan. He got into the Garden of Eden. He'll get into churches as well. But I want to say this. We have to be very diligent to watch out for being the people who bring the drama to the church. And sometimes there's drama in your life, but it can be a great stumbling block. When one brings drama and discord into the house of the Lord, I need you to understand something. It is a form of sacrilege. The church is a holy place. It is dedicated toward the worship and admonition of Christ. He is what it's all about. I have a sign right here that I had put on the pulpit that remind me and anyone who preaches here. They came to hear about Jesus. I want that to be my number one mission when I stand behind this pulpit. And that ought to be your mission when you come to church. People are here to hear about Jesus. You know that no one wants to come hear my personal drama. Nobody wants me to get up behind the pulpit and talk about my problems and things. I'm here to be a help to people, a blessing to people. And you know what? Nobody comes to church to get wrapped up in our personal and private dramas of our life. And anytime you take something that is holy and you use it, something that is holy and sanctified, how many of you believe the church is something that is holy and sanctified? This room is sanctified. Did you know that? I mean, there are halls you can rent where all kinds of things go on. It might have a church service on Sunday morning, but it might have a dance on Saturday night. Monday night, it might be a room where everybody's drinking alcohol and getting drunk. But that's not this room. That's not going to happen in here. Why? Because this room is sanctified for the worship of Jesus Christ. And that is what it is built to do. That's what the monies that were given to it were given to do. And so we have sanctified this building, this room. And it's a holy place. And so anytime you take something that is holy and sanctified and you use it for something that is unholy and self-serving, you are committing sacrilege. When you take something unholy, when you take something that is holy and you treat it or use it in a way that is unholy, you are committing sacrilege. Beloved, listen to me. Don't ever allow the devil to use you as an unholy thing in a holy place. Don't do it. And there will be people, if you're not careful and you bring your personal dramas to church, there can be people that dread coming to church. They can dread being here. They don't want to get caught up in that. You know, the tragedy of a church split is you'll have a small group on one side and a small group on the other, and that very large group in the middle of people who don't care. They don't want to get involved in it. They don't want to hear about it. They don't want to take sides. They don't want to be made to take sides. Am I right about that? Anybody ever been involved in a church split? It's horrible. It's ugly. And the tragedy is there's so many good people who just the devil uses that to get them out of church. Often they'll be church hurt. They'll never come back. Oh, listen, we're humans. We have drama. We have hurts. We have things that we go through. But sometimes that can cause people to lose the joy of their attending church, and we want to be careful about that. Who agrees with me? Say amen. Amen. Sometimes a Christian is not living right in their private life. And when that happens, much like Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they'll run away from the presence of the Lord. I've seen Christians come to church and love it, enjoy it, growing, and then somehow they get involved in some ugly sin. Suddenly they dread coming to church. Suddenly they don't want to be here. Suddenly on Saturday night they're making themselves do it, but there's a no joy in it. They're going through the motions maybe, and often they don't even do that. They just get out. Christian that's not living right is going to not have the joy of coming to the house of the Lord. Hey, whatever the reason, the simple fact is this. Many people struggle with the joy of coming to church, and I hate that. I hate that that's there. So I'm going to give you these thought exercises to help you. I'm going to give these to you quickly. And by the way, all of us have dealt with this. Everybody in this room has had a point where you're looking at it's time to go to church, and you're like, oh, I don't want to go. I don't feel like going. Now, be honest, or I'm going to preach on lying for the rest of the night. I'm going to add an hour to it because you made me do it. How many of you can be honest and say there have been times when it was time to come to church and I thought, oh, man, I don't feel like going. Raise your hand. I'm raising my hand. This is me legitimately raising my hand. It happens to all of us, and you're not alone in that. And sometimes that's just where your character has to kick in. But I do want to give you some thought exercises to help you have more joy in coming to church. Number one. When you get hit with that feeling that you don't want to go, number one, ask this question. Ask what God wants you to do more than what you want to do. You have to stop sometime and you say, I don't feel like going to church, but what does God want me to do more than what do I want to do? And sometimes you have to have the character to go until that feeling passes, and it will pass. You stay faithful, that feeling will pass. The joy will come back. Number two, you have to ask this question in your heart. Ask, where is the Holy Spirit leading me versus where is my flesh leading me? How many of you believe that when a Christian is saved, they are indwelt by the Holy Spirit? Do y'all believe that? The Bible teaches that, but do you believe that? Amen. Now, the Holy Spirit is the leading agent in our life. He should be. He's our guide. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit wants to go to church? So you got to ask yourself, where is the Holy Spirit leading me versus where is my flesh leading me? Often your flesh won't be excited about going to church, even when you're a good Christian, even when you love the Lord, even when you believe in it. Sometimes your flesh is going to lead you in an opposite way of where the Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Now, again, very practical, but which voice should we listen to? Our flesh or the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit, do you think he wants to go to church some of the time? All the time? Yeah. Are you really trying to say that he wants to go to church every time the doors are open? Right. You really believe that?
Yes, I
do. I believe it too. And sometimes my flesh is weak, but I know the Spirit's always willing. He's willing that we go to church. It's his will. That's his desire. Well, we've got to remember to ask that question. When you just don't feel like going, there's no joy in it, remember that the Holy Spirit wants to go to church. Have you ever gone to church where it on the way or when it came time to get up, some people wake up in the morning and they say, "Good morning, Lord." Some people wake up and they say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Good Lord. Sometimes that's going to happen. And I know that there are times that I didn't feel like going, but I can honestly say that every time I've gone, I was glad that I went. On the way home, I was rejoicing. I was rejoicing that I went to church. There were times I didn't want to go. Then there's times I was going on the way home thinking, man, I'm sure glad I went. What a blessing. Got something out of it. And so you got to ask this question. Now, number three, remember that the initial thought of going to church may not be exciting, but once you are there and on the way home, you will be glad you went. And I just covered that, but that's the third thought. You know, between the opportunity to do right and the actual doing of right, there's always a time of debate and contemplation. You understand what I'm saying? Between the opportunity to do something that is right and the actual doing of that, there's always an argument in your soul that takes place between those two things. People that do right win that argument in a spiritual way. And there'll be times that you don't want to go, but I guarantee you, if you'll push through it, you'll leave and you'll feel glad that you went. Number four, realize the simplicity and low requirement that going to church is. It's honestly not that much to ask of people. It's not that much time. If you went to every service that we offer, you've actually been in church about 5 hours per week. It's really not that much. The longest service we have is Sunday morning. Sunday night and Wednesday night, we try to stick to a time frame because we have kids programs. Sunday morning, we start at 10:45. We're usually out around 12:15 to 12:20. That's an hour and a half service. And if you go to Sunday school before that, that's an hour. So you're going to spend a lot of time just driving to church, getting ready for church. That's the majority of the time that it's spent involved in church. But the actual going to church, it's really pretty simple and low requirement. It's really not that big a deal. And it's really not that you're here that long. And you have to look at it sometimes as though, you know, I'm just going to run up to the church for a short time tonight. Sunday night, you may spend more time debating about coming to church than you would actually be in church. Did you know that? Am I right? Am I right about that? Don't overthink it. Hey, what else would you be doing on a Sunday night from 6:30 to 7:30? I mean, honestly, don't overthink it. What else has eternal significance? What is the best use of your time on Sunday and Wednesday night? There's good, there's better, and best. Which one? What is best? What would have something that means something for you when this life is over? Well, we understand that church falls into that category. Remember this, number five, a thought exercise. When you're struggling with your joy of coming to church, remember that you are pleasing Jesus when you love and attend to his bride. His bride is the church. Number six, focus on the joy that is felt while at the church service. How many of you are enjoying church tonight? We've had a good time, haven't we? Now, maybe it's not like going to Six Flags. Maybe it's not like going to Walmart. I don't know. What do y'all enjoy doing? Okay, I'll get one that you'll understand. Maybe it's not like going to Bill Miller's, getting some barbecue. But if you're spiritually hungry, we put a pretty good plate on the table around here. Would y'all agree with that? And, you know, there's times you may struggle to get here, but I guarantee you most of the time, you've had a good time once you were here. Good time in Jesus. You know, people talk about how long it is sometimes. That always kind of irritates me. People don't mind sitting through 3.5 hour long baseball games and football games and basketball games. And they don't mind, you know, going to movies that sometimes are 2 and 3 hours. I've shared the story of the woman that told me that I preached too long. That's why she wasn't at church. She said, you preach too long. Sometimes you go 45 to 55 minutes. And yeah, guilty. I'm about 45 minutes. That's about it. As I walked in her house to visit, it was a Saturday morning. She was just putting a movie on to watch. You know what that movie was? Titanic. 3.5 hours long. She told me it was her favorite movie, and she was sitting down to watch it, going to spend her Saturday morning watching Titanic. When I walked in, she had paused it. It was on the opening credits. I recognized it. We commented on the movie, talked about it, talked about some of the historical facts of the Titanic. She went on and on about how much she told me she'd watched it 9 or 10 times. Now, that's 3.5 hours times 9 or 10. That's 30-something hours investment to a movie that ends the same every single time. The dialogue doesn't change. Jack is going to drown. She's not going to share the door that she's sitting on or whatever that was. She's going to tell him, I'll never leave you. As soon as he dies, she can't wait to shake him off. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to cry. And the ending's never going to change. Now, I'm sorry, I don't buy it. When we're interested in things, we can give it everyone as much time we want with it. Focus on the joy that is felt while at the church service. Quit worrying about clocks and times. We worry about that. We really do. Y'all may not think that I do, but I do. I do worry about times, and I watch the clock, and I realize my time is done. Now, somebody says, I know what you're thinking right now. It is right now, 7:34. And you said 7:30. We're still here. But we're about to be done. Number 7, when at church, you can get a blessing by being a blessing. You'll have more joy if you'll get involved and help make it a joyful place. I have lost church family members over the years that have told me that when they were leaving our church, possibly to quit church or go to another church, that often they just didn't find a friend here or wherever. That, you know, I've pastored church before here, but sometimes I heard that there. You know, we just didn't find a friend. We just didn't find anybody. We didn't have any fellowship. We just didn't feel wanted. You know, it's always a certain type that says that. It's that person that shows up after the third song and leaves during the invitation. I don't expect y'all to, like, angry mobs chasing people to their car to give them a hug. You know what I mean? There are people, you can tell sometimes when they come in, they just aren't happy. They're not, I'm not going to beg people to come to church. I mean, we're not the mob. We're not the mafia. You know, you can leave if you want. We're not the Hotel California. You can check out and you can leave. Amen. Hey, we're not a group that won't let you leave. Some of you are like, I can't believe preacher just said that. I can't believe I said it either, but I did. Can we edit this, Brother Kyle, before the brethren find out? Oh, look, I don't want you coming to church under duress. I want you to be here because you feel led of God here and you enjoy it and you get something out of it. But I tell you, the church members that I know stay are the ones that come to be a blessing, not just get a blessing week after week. They're up shaking hands. They're up hugging people. They're trying to volunteer. They're trying to find a place to serve. Those seem to be the ones that we keep around, and they seem to be the ones that enjoy it more. They're here to be a blessing. You come to church to be a blessing, you'll find a way to start looking forward and enjoying your church. Number 8, realize that it is a small thing. Don't overthink it. Don't overanalyze it. It's a small offering of your time that you can give to God. It's really not that big of a deal if you'll quit dreading it so much, you'll find that it's really not that big a deal. Church times. Number 9, I'm just about done. Know that it is the greatest way to encourage your pastor. You know, the greatest thing you do to encourage me is just come to church. It makes me full of so much joy when I see you. And I worry about people when I don't see them for a while, but when you come to church, you're just, it's like saying sick 'em to an old bulldog. It makes me so excited. I get so excited when I see people coming to church and staying faithful. Now, as I'm about to close out, realize this. I want you to catch this tonight. Realize this. I'm probably shooting myself in the foot to teach you this, but it's a biblical truth. Realize that you don't have to do it. Huh? Realize that you don't have to go to church. We're not legalists. I've never taught you that going to church is what saves you. And I don't believe that it does. You can be the worst church attender in the world, but if you truly repented and came to Jesus and had a time in your life that you sought his forgiveness, you know, it don't make sense to me, but I don't believe in works salvation. So here's the reality. If you'll change this in your mind, you don't have to go to church. You get to go to church. And it's a wonderful part of our freedom as Christians. We get to choose to display our loyalty to Christ, not in fear of hell's fires, but in answer to love's heart, the heart's love. And we do it because we love the Lord and we want to be a part of the bride. Now, the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling, and I understand that and I agree with that. But you don't have to do it to be saved or to be a Christian. In fact, going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than going to McDonald's makes you a Big Mac. Well, you know, I've learned that when you do something under duress or demand, you lose the joy in it. When you feel like you've got to go to church and you feel like there's this legalistic attachment to it, you're not going to have the joy in it. But freedom to do it, freedom to not do it, is where we show the Lord where he stands in our life, that he is the Lord of our life. And we display this out of Christian freedom. And beloved, listen to me. There are parts of the world who would love to have the freedom to attend church as we are tonight. My daughter and son-in-law are in Germany. They have the freedom to have church, but they can't have Sunday and Wednesday night church there. It's not allowed. They have curfews and things that you can't attend. You're not allowed to do it. Here we are on a Sunday night. We have the freedom to do it. German Christians would love to be able to just attend their church on Sunday night. There are countries that I talked to Brother Roger in China. You understand that there's state-registered churches and video cameras everywhere, and most Christians that are legit are meeting underground, secretive. He's had to get up in the middle of the night and go bury Bibles that he's wrapped in cellophane and keeps them in his house, but if they catch him with a Bible, he can be arrested. And he's literally been given tips that he was going to be investigated, and it's happened 3 times, he's told me, where he's literally ran out in the woods behind his house, dug a hole, and put his Bibles in it, and had to come dig them up after they were gone. Aren't you glad we're not living in that? You get to read the Word. You get to own the Bible. You get to go to church. And if you'll get your mind wrapped around this, your joy of coming to church may be more full. Now listen, I want to close with this. If you're sick, I want you to stay home and get well. I mean, if you're sick enough that you wouldn't go to work, stay home from church too. If you're sick enough that if your best friend called and said, "Hey, I have tickets to Six Flags, let's go." That happened to me once. I went in and told my mom I was too sick to go to school. I didn't know that she'd already gotten a call from Marilyn Guillot that she had 2 tickets to Magic Springs theme park. I didn't know. And that her son, Roy, it was his birthday, and she wanted him to, he wanted to take a friend to Magic Springs. So I came in, "Mom, I'm too sick to go to school. I don't feel good." She goes, "Oh, that's too bad." And she told me about the tickets. It was a miracle. God healed me on the spot. "Mom, I'm not feeling that bad. I can do it. I can do it." Now, listen, if you're sick enough that you wouldn't go out to the mall or get your hair done, get your nails done, stay home. Don't feel bad about it. Now, if you go out and do other stuff, then maybe you should go on to church. If you're gone and out of town, and I'm for you going out of town. I'm for you taking vacations. You need them. You need a break. I'm going to take them. You need them. I'm not ever going to be upset with you over that. Have a great time. Sometimes you have a circumstance that's unusual that keeps you away from church, and here's what I want to advise you to do. Sometimes things happen, and you got to miss church service. I hope that you'll be sincere in your efforts not to, but if it happens, this is what you got to do. Just make sure you get back the next service. Just get back as soon as you can. Don't let the devil, you know, that old saying, the more you miss church, the less you will miss church. It becomes easy to miss the more you miss, and you don't want that. Church is a blessing. I hope that you'll have the joy of going to church. Let's bow for a word of prayer. I love coming to church, but there are some times I don't feel it like I do other times, and you do too. Push through it. Sometimes you just got to be faithful. Sometimes it's not about happiness, it's about holiness. Sometimes it's not about joy, it's about pleasing the Lord. But I want you to have joy. I want you to love your church, and I want you to find the joy in coming. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand. Is there anyone that can say, "Preacher, I don't know that I'm saved, but I'd like to be saved. I need some counsel on this." Would you just slip your hand up? Would you just slip your hand up tonight? Put it back down. Anybody at all? Amen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and when I do, the altars are going to be open for just a few moments tonight. We won't hold it long, but we will hold it as long as we need to if there's people praying. Maybe you have needs. Jesus said, "My house should be a house of prayer." One of the greatest things to me about a church is the power of the presence of the Lord in it. I just feel a special presence. I feel closer to God when I'm in the house of God. And I can pray anywhere, and I have prayed all over the place. But there's something special about praying in the altar of your church house, the house of the Lord. I just feel there's power in it. Whatever the problems are in your life, take a moment, share it with the Lord, seek His guidance. And you come quickly. Dear Lord, hear the prayers of your servants. Lord, I'm glad to have people in the house of God tonight. Lord, I've never showed up, ever, not one time, since I've been the pastor of Town East Baptist Church, where it was time for church and nobody came. We have some very faithful church attenders here, and I'm so grateful for it. But I want them to do it with joy, and I want them to have a happiness about church, not a dread. And maybe they're experiencing that dread. I hope that maybe some of the practical thoughts I brought tonight will help them. We ask this all in Jesus' name.